Let's fire it up here at the NFL Combine. We're back on Radio Row. I'm Matt Taylor. This is the Colts Audio Network. J.J. Stankovitz from Colts.com. Joining us now, Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin. These are the hosts of Moving the Chains from 3 to 7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Gentlemen, I think this is our first dual interview. I guess we got the quad box working right here. This is awesome. You guys should just do the show right now. What do you got going on?
Hey, we love it. It's a busy week. Well, we've been busy since the championship game. So we covered the championship game on the AFC side of it, then the Senior Bowl, which helps us prepare for the combine. And then we're out at the Super Bowl all week. And that was a great event. What a great game. And now here we are again.
So, but how many combines for you guys here?
33 straight for me.
For you, Pat, right?
Yeah. Oh, 33 straight Senior Bowls and 33 straight combines.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine the combine not being here, having done it?
No, I would never leave Indianapolis. These people that want it, they don't know what they're really getting into. They don't understand that the hospital part of Indianapolis is the key piece to all this. And none of these guys, Jerry Jones included, they can't deliver the hospitals.
Yeah. Well, I remember it was the old RCA Dome. We'd said we were the only ones that had a table outside. And then, of course, all the teams started to explode and cover themselves. Remember, it jumped from the original combine that I attended. That was back in 2006. I think there was only 100 credentials given out. Now for media, there's over
2006?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've done 17 straight combines.
So in that time for you, when did you really start to see it go from that to what it is now?
Once the Lucas Oil was built, it started to explode. Because then those hallways, like I said, it was on the outside of the RCA Dome.
Yeah.
We had the only table, and then it started to get 5, 10, 15. And then when they moved everything over to the convention center, that was probably about 5 years ago.
Years ago.
Where it busted out, where there's over 2,000 media credentials handed out. It was crazy.
I remember sitting in a locker room with Al Davis, and there were two running backs went in there just to stretch. And Al wanted one, and I wanted one. And we went in there, and we decided, you take that side locker room. I got there. And we recruited guys right in the room. I'm going, I'm banging my head against Al Davis here.
Oh, yeah. There's no bad story that begins with I was sitting with Al Davis. There's no bad story that begins that way.
And, you know, Al and Bill Parcells always sat in the same seats. They sat at the 10-yard line of the 40-yard dash. And I don't give a darn if they were late. Nobody was sitting in those chairs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some new guy would come down and go, someone would go,
see you, man.
Don't do that.
No.
I wouldn't want to sit in the Big Tuna seat, that's for sure. When you look at this year's combine, you know, we're here in Indianapolis and we're talking about quarterback. Jim, I want to get your perspective first on this. As a former quarterback, as someone who now covers the league, what do you see in this year's quarterback class, specifically when you look at the differences between Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis?
Yeah, well, they all come in different shapes and sizes. I think we know Bryce Young is a little bit smaller in stature than, say, Levis, who's, you know, he's a big, strong-arm guy, you know, throwing from Kentucky. Young is really talented. I do worry about his body frame if he's going to be durable. And, you know, you even look at a guy like Kyler Murray from Arizona. Kyler's got some stoutness to him, you know, and Bryce Young doesn't. You know, he's got the smaller frame, and I worry about that for him. Can he hold up? Because even Kyler Murray, as thickly built as he is, he's been banged up every year. Last year, yes, he tears his ACL, but if you remember his first year, towards the end of the season, he banged up his shoulder. His second year, he banged up his ankle, and it restricted his play. So durability would be a question mark for me about Bryce Young.
Pat, you've been on the player evaluation side of this. Yeah. How do you go about determining whether an outlier is worth taking in the NFL draft? Because that's what Bryce Young will be, regardless of what he weighs in and measures.
So the first thing I ask myself about all these quarterbacks is are any of them Joe Burrow? No. Are any of them Andrew Luck? No. Are they in the first round because we need quarterbacks, or are they in the first round because they're good enough to be in the first round? I got no's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also know that you're going to have to play him early. Jim fights this all the time because he knows they should get a year of experience learning, but no one's allowed to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So you got to put him on the field. So do I want to put any of these four guys on the field early? No. So to me, the risk is gigantic for all of them. So not very impressed with the class. Yeah.
And I'll follow up with this. So I'll use Justin Fields because we're going to talk C.J. Stroud. You know, you look at Justin Fields, that first year in Chicago, I think nobody denies the talent, right? Nobody denies. He's got a big arm. He can run. He's physical. He's tough. But he couldn't even call a play. you know, what does Ohio State do? They look at the sideline at the coach.
They look at the cards.
And he never even could call a play. And that's going to be a problem for the Ohio State quarterback. You know, it takes time. And then, of course, they switched offenses with Matt Eberflus coming in, and it had to start all over for Justin Fields. Yeah. So his processing of information is still not up to speed of where it needs to be. And that's what I'd question about the Ohio State kid.
So what have you guys learned? Maybe what are some other things you picked up this week, you know, being here in this setting with 2,000 media members here and every decision maker in the NFL around the bars and restaurants of Indianapolis?
The first thing I'll tell you, as it relates historically to other drafts, the COVID thing, this is the benefit of COVID. There's a lot of guys here that have played 50 college football games. Mm-hmm. I've been here when there's like two guys all year in the whole draft that played 50 games.
Right.
There's a lot of them. So you've got a lot of experience. Most of the interviews we've done for the last, I mean, maybe 25 guys, they're more mature. Mm-hmm. They're physically more developed. And you've pushed all these extra guys into the draft pool that have all this extra experience and size and everything else. So I do think that a lot of guys are very excited about the second and third round. Can't all go in the first round. There's only 31 picks in that round this year. So round two and round three, I think you're going to hit some real home runs.
Jim, for you, we talked about, Pat, I know you said you probably in an ideal draft, this wouldn't be the draft you go for the big home run with the quarterback, but if you had to draft one, Jim, who is the safest guy, the guy you feel most comfortable with given the keys tomorrow to make it work?
Again, I don't think any of them are ready to play early. I like Will Levis's arm talent, but I think he's got to clean some things up footwork wise. And again, if I were to pick a guy, it'd probably be the Ohio State kid, because I think, you know, he'll eventually, he's got all the arm talent. He's been in big games, as Pat mentioned. He's won big games. I think he's a tough kid. He's a good leader. Granted, we know he's got a lot of talent around him, but his biggest hurdle, like I said, is going to be calling plays, getting that picture in his mind, and that's going to take some time. You know, it's going to take time, but I think he's got a ton of talent.
We heard from Chris Ballard this week that, you know, the Colts would potentially trade up to number one or trade up to number three, whoever it may be, if they have conviction on that there's one guy in this draft who is the guy. Pat, I'm curious on your perspective on this, being in that chair before. When do you know that you have this guy? Do you have to go through pro days? Do you have to just accumulate this mountain of information and kind of wait until April? Or can you make that decision in March or mid-March?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the question, because we sat with Chris, and I said to him, I think I trust pro days the least of any person on the planet.
Interesting.
They're the worst piece of information you can have in the equation.
Because it's so controlled.
There's no rush.
Scripted.
There's no coverage. And the agent is controlling the throws. And I would never use it as a piece of information. It's here. If they went to a bowl game, great. And it's the film. And it's going to the school and spending time with them. But pro day, run around in your underwear?
Well, we laugh about it because, like, you know, everything will report, oh, he hit 59 out of 60 throws. He should on his pro day.
No kidding.
Any player should.
Right.
And when you're doing 7-on-7, the ball should never touch the ground. I mean, because there's no rush. There's no O-line.
No receivers.
No D-line. And, you know, it's kind of silly when you think about it, because that's not football.
All right, last one for you both. Jim, I'll start with you. For the Colts, I know there's a lot of speculation on quarterback. They've got Shane Steichen now as the head coach. I guess your optimism radar on Indianapolis, where are you with them as it pertains to getting back to the playoffs, competing with the big guns?
Well, you said, obviously quarterback is big. Probably the guy who's most ready to play, and now I'm going to go against what I say, is the kid from Alabama, and here's why. Because Bill O'Brien was his OC. That guy has called plays. He can make checks at the line of scrimmage. He's called protections. He's very athletic, as we know, so he can make plays with his legs. I'm not saying the Colts are going to gear it like Jalen Hurts and what they did at Philadelphia, but they can do some certain things with him where he could probably play right away. Yeah.
Jalen Hurts squats 700 pounds.
Yeah.
The other guy don't squat 700 pounds.
I didn't say they were going to run the quarterback sneak, Pat.
Yeah.
Not 40,
we're getting rid of that.
Not 41 times, anyways. Yeah.
That play is going away, mark my words. Hopefully before we have a broken neck, because that's what happens in rugby. They
rugby
break their
scrums,
neck doing it.
Uh-huh.
I played 10 years of rugby. I saw a couple of those bad things.
Yeah.
So the division is an interesting one. Tennessee is floundering a bit now.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville is ahead of you personnel-wise, and the quarterback's established. So,
right.
But it's not hard to reach to them. I'd like to know who's going to start the season for the Colts. You're going to take one of the quarterbacks. I get it. You should. But you shouldn't put him on the field right away. So who's going to start the season off to give you a chance to be competitive while that kid's learning on the bench?
That's right. Really important perspective, because if the Colts do sign a free agent quarterback in the next couple of weeks,
that could
be a plan, and that happens before the draft, and that does not preclude the Colts from then drafting a quarterback.
I think the right guy who's got, you know, I always go back to Mark Sanchez because they took Brunell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Brunell was a great mentor for the kid. And Jimmy will tell you, you're a rookie quarterback. The guy who's you trust the most is the backup quarterback. If he's good to you, when you come off the field, he's going, you missed two cover two checks.
Right, right. What you're looking at.
You want that guy.
No doubt.
And that's what they should be thinking about when they bring in the other quarterback.
Yeah, for sure.
Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin.
Thanks, guys.
They are the hosts on Sirius XM NFL Radio, moving the chains. Guys, enjoy the rest of your stay here.
All
Thank
right,
you so
guys,
much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.